Hello and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from many of our listeners telling us how much this broadcast is a blessing to them. We have phone calls from folks who have problems with their kids, with their families, all telling us that God in Our City is a big blessing to them. Today, I need your help. I need you to partner with me to help keep God in Our City right here where it's supposed to be on WMCA Live every Sunday morning. Could you today be a prayer partner with us? Would you take the time to pray weekly for God in Our City? Beyond that, perhaps you could be a promoter of God in Our City. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, someone you know in need and tell them to tune into our broadcast. Or perhaps you would text someone or place the fact that God in Our City is on up on your Facebook page. And finally, our church, Calvary Chapel, absorbs the majority of the costs involved with making this broadcast possible. But today, we need your help. Would you be willing to partner with us financially? If you would you please just call 718-720-5390, that's 718-720-5390, or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org, that's calvarychapelsi.org, click on the donate button and contribute today. Thank you so much for listening. Now, back to the broadcast.
Rise up, women of the truth, stand in chains to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of Love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus, Savior to all.
Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south. Sing to the east and the west.
Awesome singing this morning. Boy, the worship team's on fire today.
I feel a little Irish today. I like
you. You feel a little Irish today?
Yeah, I feel
Wow, that's good to hear, Sam. You look a little Irish.
Yeah.
O'Authory, we call him, yes.
I'm working on it.
You may be seated if you have not seated already. Just a couple things before we sing our songs. First of all, we want to welcome our radio audience. We trust today that the service will be a huge blessing to you, that God will speak and minister to you in a very, very definitive way. Also, we just want to say two things that are happening. First of all, we did have an amazing weekend here. We had our Friday night prayer service, and then yesterday morning, the Calvary ladies had their last meeting until the fall, and it was filled up. They had a great time, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. And then we actually host every year the annual Rhonda Whitfield Scholarship Fund. So we had a dinner here afterwards. We were all here, a lot of us, till about 5 o'clock last night, making all that happen. Next week is an amazing weekend. It's off the hook weekend. On Saturday morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock at the Staten, we have our pre-Father's Day breakfast with the chaplain of the New York Yankees and Giants, George McGovern, speaking for us. It is going to be a great time. We're hoping, praying that every man here chooses to come on out, and there'll be guys at the door to make sure you choose that. It's $25 per person next Saturday. You have to register in advance. If you're listening by radio and you want to come, it's a great event here at the Staten. You can just call us at 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390. Call us, say, I want to come. It will be the time of your life. And then it's been about 6 years ago, we started a tradition here at Calvary Chapel. Every Father's Day, all the dads get what?
Steaks. What else?
All the dads get steaks. We'll give fish for you. Steak.
Yeah, I love the salmon.
Steak, baked potato, and then we give every dad in attendance a beer.
A root beer. Yeah, thank you.
Stewart's root beer. It's going to be a great time next Father's Day, just coming up 1 week really from today, so plan on being here. And this year I did something a little different. Usually I take the steaks and marinate them myself in Peter Luger sauce, but I had some complaints about that. They said the steaks weren't perfect. They were close, but not. So this year we went to Omaha Steaks, and the steaks are coming from Omaha Steaks. Can you smell it? Oh, and by the way, they're wrapped in bacon.
Wow.
So ladies, bring your man. It could be his last meal.
Amen.
Bacon. This could be the year you get the insurance. So you plan on being with us. It'll be an amazing time. Next, both services, 9 and 11, 15, we're giving steaks out. Isn't that pretty cool? Steaks for everybody. All right. All the men, anyway. Jay, you and the team have more stuff. You're tired of hearing me. Take it away, buddy.
Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one, but He never sinned, but suffered as if
all authority.
All authority. Every victory is yours.
All authority.
All authority.
Every victory.
Every victory. Yo!
in hand, speaking the Father's plan.
Power in hand,
speaking the Father's plan.
Sending us out.
Sending us out. Night in this broken land.
Let's sing that again. Power in hand.
Speaking the Father's plan, sending us out, light in this broken land.
All authority,
all authority,
every
victory is yours.
From the scriptures this morning from Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you so much, worship team. Verses 8 through 14, will you just remain standing in reverence for God's word and we'll pray together. It says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the truths that are contained in it. We thank you for the amazing privilege we have today to open it, to read it, to digest it, to allow it, Lord, to change us. Lord, we would ask that during our time today that that will be the case, Lord, that we will allow you to reach into our very hearts and, Lord, fix the things that are broken, strengthen the things that are weak, and, Lord, encourage us in an amazing way. We need you today. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Lord, our change, our work in our own lives is fruitless. It is only through your Spirit that we bear fruit. Lord, we would pray today for the families of the three American soldiers killed yesterday in Afghanistan. We would just pray that you will give them comfort through this very difficult time, Lord. You will help them through it, God. Lord, we pray for Rose's brother Reuben's family at the loss of a son, that you'll help them through this time. And God, there are many, 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 many needs represented here. We ask that you will meet each of them. Lord, there are those listening to the sound of our music and our voice who are discouraged. And we pray today you will, Lord, touch them. Lord, there are those who are lost. We pray today that this will be the day that they are found. Lord, please continue to protect our city. Give our mayor the wisdom that he needs. Give the people around him the wisdom they need. Please watch over our first responders. Lord, keep them safe. And Lord, we would pray for our country, for its safety, for our president and all, Lord, those in authority. We pray, Lord, you'll work in their lives and that they, Lord, will listen to you for guidance, for wisdom, that they will not do that which is politically expedient, but rather that which pleases you. Lord, touch us again, we would pray, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We have this amazing privilege of spending the summer together. I have actually now 6 of these shirts, amazing shirts, so you'll be seeing those. But before I actually speak today, Allie's going to come, and she's going to lead us and share with us a beautiful song about sharing our faith. Allie?
Live inside the dark.
Thank you, Allie. So as you see, we're going to be talking about light today. Talk about living as children of light, as God's people. And we're going to spend most of our time in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 8th through the 14th verses. You already know that we're in this really cool series, One Topical Summer Together. Like I said, I have like 6 of these shirts, so I can rotate them all through the summer. I'll feel nice and comfortable. Maybe by the end of the summer, I'll buy 15, so every week you're going to see something a little different. You won't be as bored with me. But today, we continue this series, and I think what's important for us to begin to grasp is that we are a group of people who are supposed to be very, very different and very special. That God has called us to be something or some people who are very, very special. Before we, though, get deep into our message, I was struck this week by this story. A former Ohio fashion model was sentenced to prison for trying to have a hitman to kill her husband's wife. But her conviction was overturned. It's his ex-wife, yeah. An appeals court judge ruled that the 34-year-old Tara Lambert should never been, the conviction or the case should never been allowed to proceed. That the indictment was fatally flawed. So after a year in prison, not because she was innocent, but because of a technicality, she was set free. Now, ladies, don't get any ideas here today, all right? It usually doesn't work this way. But as I thought about this woman, the question that came to my mind was, having been set free like this, on a technicality, though you're guilty, how should you live? What should be different about how you live? Because I can relate to that. Caught up in sin and its consequences. I got set free. How should I now live? And that in so many ways is what we're talking about today when we talk about the difference between being children of light and children of the darkness. We're going to look from Ephesians chapter 4 at these matters, but it's good that we have two things in mind. First of all, the whole context of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians goes this way. The first 3 chapters is about the wealth of a Christian, how blessed a Christian is. And then chapter 4 and 5 talk about how a Christian ought to live because they're so blessed, because they've been set free. And then chapter 6 is the warfare of a believer, how we do that thing we call spiritual warfare. All of it is important. But it's good that we know that context because we're looking at chapter 5. And beyond that, we need to read these verses in light of the first century. And I mean in light of the first century. Right now, if I want light, I don't even have to say, let there be light. I say, let there be a switch. And since we pay the Con Ed bill here, and we'll talk more about that during the offering, since we pay the Con Ed bill here, the lights come on. Do I have a witness? How many of you are grateful for electricity that way, right? Some of you are even shivering from the air conditioning we have running here today. And some of you are still sweating. But we're grateful for electricity. We're grateful for light. It's simple for us. 150 years ago, the church used to have evening evangelistic services because people could come out and see the gas lights at the church. So lost people would come to hear the gospel because they would be basking in this crazy thing called gas lighting. 250 years ago, when the sun went down, so did you. Or you read by candlelight. 2,000 years ago, this first century, it was a very dark place when it was night. So when the Apostle Paul talks about letting our light shine, he's talking about something where people be very, very understanding of what it meant to be in darkness. So let us walk through this. First of all, as we read these verses, The main point we want to start taking home today is that I need to experience the prerequisites for shining out. We're going to talk about shining out. We're going to talk directly about this idea of sunlight on a dark night. We're going to talk about what needs to happen for us to shine out. The first thing that needs to happen is we need to experience the prerequisites to shining out. Let there be light. It says, for at one time, you were what? Darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. I'm from the country. I know what it means to be dark, for it to be dark. Here in the city, it's never dark. Well, unless it's 1976 or 77 and they had a big light. It's always light, right? You can always go outside and there's a street light on. Darkness is not something that's part of our vocabulary. But in the first century, when he says, you were once darkness, the people would go, yeah, I remember that. But now are you light, how? In the Lord. Darkness speaks of a spiritual condition without God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 describes it this way. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were like a corpse. You had nothing going on with reference to you and God. I can remember before I became a follower of Christ, before the light went on, praying and not knowing if God answered. Praying not knowing if God listened. Praying and not knowing if God was there. It was hopeless. Not having a personal relationship, but having some sort of bizarre, distant relationship. What do I need to do to get your attention, God? We were blinded by Satan. We were under Satan's control. The power of darkness ran us. And we were in something called the kingdom of darkness. We played for the wrong team. You say, oh, not me. No, yes, you. We were hopeless, directionless, powerless, and headed for an eternal destiny of darkness. That's what hell is described as, outer darkness. Isn't that kind of an irony about hell? It's hot, so you'd think it'd be really fiery and there'd be light. It's called the lake of fire, but it's ultimate darkness. And that's where we were headed. The darkness in our soul was going to transfer into an eternity without God. Because the reason we had a dark soul is because God wasn't there. I need to remember who I was. I was darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This amazing light that is Jesus, these people who do not have Christ, their eyes are blinded. Folks, that's you and I before we came to faith. We were blind and we couldn't see. We got caught up in our religiosity. We caught up in our spirituality. We got caught up in our secularism. We got caught up in our education. We got caught up with our fancy words. All we were doing is putting veneer on a corpse. Dressing up a corpse really nice. Because we were dead without him. And then I need to know who I am now. Light. But in contrast, the essence of this sentence is no verbs. It's simply this. I equals light. We are photos or phos. We get our word photosynthesis from that. We are light. We are light in the Lord. I cannot speak for anyone else's conversion experience. But I can say for myself personally, on October 7th, 1973, as a man shared with me my need, my personal need for Christ as Savior, and I responded to that need, and I asked Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior, when I opened my eyes from praying that day, it was as if someone had turned a light on. I said, wow. Wow, everything is different. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness, where? Into his marvelous light. And I need to recognize how I got here. It's in the Lord. It's not in me. There are faiths that teach that you have an inner light. Christianity doesn't teach that you have an inner light. It teaches that you have an inner darkness. So when you get in touch with your inner light, you're not getting in touch with your inner light. You're getting in touch with your inner darkness. And your inner darkness will lead you astray every time. That's why you need the gospel. That's why I need the gospel. It's because my heart is blackened. My heart is broken. My heart's a mess. The light does not derive from me. In Jesus, I am light. The light is in him, shining out from me or reflecting off of me, but it's Jesus. I am so blessed with so many spiritual blessings in Christ. I am forgiven in Christ. I am accepted in the beloved in Christ. I have given redemption in Christ. I am made in Christ Jesus for good works. I have all those things. I have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, and I have light in Christ. In Christ. Look how far we've come by the grace of God. We are as different as night and day from our old life. That's what's happened for us. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. These may be my favorite verses in all of the Bible. It says it this way. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. That's at the creation. That same God has done this. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Hey, that'd be a great name for a group. Somebody put that out. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. God said, let there be light. And that's when the light went on in my heart. And I've never been the same. And those of you who've experienced that know that truth. And in order for the rest of this sermon to work, it begins with, have I had the experience? Have I had the prerequisite? Have I come to that place where I have acknowledged my sin, acknowledged my need for a Savior, and invited Christ into my life, and now I have light? Secondly, I need to follow the prescription for shining out. If our first point is, let there be light, our second point is, let your light shine. I need to follow the prescription for shining out. I am to keep my light uncovered through the darkness. Now, we live in a dark world. I can't say this any stronger. In my lifetime, it's never been darker. In my lifetime. Ephesians, and I'm old. Ephesians 5:8 says this. Walk as what? Children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. But we're to walk, it says here, as children of light. The prescription for us. I am to display a certain conduct. Walk as children of light. There is an expectation. There is an expectation that I will walk in a certain manner. Now, I think this is very, very important for us to understand. When we think of our salvation, we think of God rescuing us from the penalty of our sin. Without Christ, because of my sin, I'm going to go to hell. And we don't, who wants to go to hell? Nobody. So save me from hell. I want to go to heaven. But please understand that the reason why God is so against sin is because of the damage it does. If you were a person given to lying, what happens as you lie? Everyone trusts you, right? You have to always wonder, what did I say? You have to remember what you said, all of that. Your life is coded or ensconced in secrecy, etc., etc., etc. You're lying. Whew. And then one day you come to Christ, and the lies are forgiven, not in part, but the whole. Why do you want to go back to them lies? Why do you want to go back to there? What did that get you? It was destroying you. It was destroying your family. It was destroying your heart. It was searing your conscience. It was messing with everything regarding who you are. Why do you want to go back there? If you're a person who's given over to sensuality, sins of the flesh, what does that do? What does that get you? Ultimately, it puts you in this crazy bondage, a pleasure bond. Oh, I got to do this. It's never enough. Why do you want to go back there?
You've come to that place where you place your faith in Christ and things are different. Why do you want to go back there? You don't have to go back there. Why do you want to go back there? I can walk now as a child of light. We are light. How is it say it? We are light in the Lord. But I can walk as a child of light. How does that play out, as it were? It's a positive command. As children of light, our lineage is that of light. A certain conduct is expected of children of light. As light exhibits certain properties, so the children of light should display certain properties. People of light should reflect the God of light. Let me say that again. People of light should reflect the God of light. And then it says, walk as children of light. How many of you walk today? Walking is something we do in our normal way of life. Walk as children of light because this is what normally you would do. In your normal life, walk. It tells us earlier in Ephesians to walk in love. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 to walk worthy of the Lord. And tells us in 1 John 6 and 7 to walk in light as he is in the light. So walk as children of light. Matthew 5, 14 and 15 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. We are the light of the world. We are to walk as children of light. There's a certain conduct that's expected. Secondly, I am to exhibit certain characteristics. It says, for the fruit of the light, and then it describes it. Four anticipates the question, well, what do you mean to walk as a child of light? You know, come on, be more specific. And it says here, the fruit of the light, the byproduct, the natural byproduct of being of the light, the photosynthesis of being of the light is the following. In sphere of all goodness, this is in relationship to others. I am to walk in relationship to others with something called goodness. Will everyone I meet treat me well? Nope. Will a lot of people that I meet treat me bad? So what should I do? Do it to them before they do it to me? I walk in goodness. I'll give you another word that might help here. I walk in unselfishness. I walk in unselfishness. I seek the good of others. And then in sphere of righteousness, in relationship to God, I do what is right in relationship to God. Here's the cool thing. Before I came to faith in Christ, I couldn't do righteousness. Now, we live in this mixed up world that thinks that righteousness is a bad thing. Righteousness is a healthy thing. Righteousness is good for you. It's good for me. It's good for us. It's good for society. So I am to walk in righteousness, even putting on the breastplate of righteousness, yielding my body as an instrument of righteousness, pursuing righteousness. That is a characteristic of one who has experienced the light. And then in sphere of truth, this is in relationship to ourselves. Truth is in Christ Jesus. We're to have the belt of truth on. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to speak the truth to one another. But the first person we need to speak truth to is ourselves. Sometimes truth is a hard pill, isn't it? The river denial is a nice river, right? You can go down that and deny. What does God ask of you and I? What does God ask of me? Listen to the words of Psalm 51:6. It says, behold, you delight in truth where? In inner being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. What's the first step to really understanding what's going on inside of me? Truth. Speaking the truth. Let me give you another word here. How about the word authenticity? Authenticity. Being real. Being real. What the world needs more than perhaps anything else is people who are followers of Christ who are being real. Not the pretense of, I'm holy. Yes, I'm holy. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I've been singing the righteous song. I'm holy. What God wants from us is truth. I'm not there yet. I'm not holy yet. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I love you, sorta. I'm working on it. I love you in the Lord. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to God. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When I am living my truth or living his truth out, when I'm real and authentic, truthful, when I am right, when I have this righteousness, when I'm seeking the good and the benefit of others, the result is people will see what we're doing and they'll want what we have. People can tell if you're phony. People know if you're in it for the money. People know it if you're in it for the praise. People know it if you're not in it for the right reasons. We must be authentic. And then I have a certain concern. Why am I doing this all? Pleasing to the Lord. What's our aim? What's our goal? The word here is that I approve by testing the things that please God. I don't have to please you. You don't have to please me. What's the old saying in retail we used to have? I can only please one person a day. Today is not your day. Tomorrow doesn't look good either. Don't write that down and say it in a job interview. But what should be our goal in life? To please who? The Lord. We have an audience of one. The Lord. When my life is done, I'm not going to stand before you. I'm not going to have to give an account before you. I'm going to stand before my Lord Jesus. And I'm going to explain to him what's up with me. 2 Corinthians 5:9, so that whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to do what? Please him. We make it our aim to please him. What are you and I aiming for as children of light? To please him. Him. To please him. Not only am I to keep my light uncovered by the darkness, I am to keep my light undiluted by the darkness. I'm not supposed to let my light be dimmed by the darkness that is in this world and by the darkness that is around me. How do I do that? Well, Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Now I'm going to talk old line Christianity today. We live in this crazy Christian world where we almost, it seems, try to show how much liberty we have in Jesus. We try to say, well, you know what? I can watch that program. It doesn't affect me. Sure, I can throw down a few beers and that's not a problem for me. And then we find out you got a problem with alcohol and you got a problem with pornography. But it wasn't a problem. There's a reason that we were legalistic in our Christian faith at one point. It's because we were trying to keep people's butt out of trouble. Now, we probably went too far, but that's what we were doing. So my encouragement to you is to be very, very careful that you have no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Because for me, the works of darkness are viewed as non-productive. They will not help me in my Christian faith. The works of darkness will mess with me, not help me. It literally it says this here, stop having fellowship with the works produced by the darkness because they are archarpos, they are without fruit. If I spend my life in those arenas, the product will be, I will be unfruitful, they will mess me up. I need to be in the light to grow. It's like I stuck myself in the basement and closed all the doors and shut off all the lights and hope for the best. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness. Romans 6:21-22 says it this way. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are not, which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is what? Death. But now having been set free from sin and having become the slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Why do you want to waste your time with that junk? The product will not be what God is happy with, nor will it be what you're happy with. You were slaves to that stuff. Why would you go back? Why would you go back? I was reading this week on the miners. I think it's the 35 or 36 miners in Chile. It's been 7 years ago, who found themselves trapped in the darkness of a mine. They were rescued miraculously. Some of them went back in the mine. Here's my question. Why? Why? Why do you want to be in that darkness again with the possibility of being trapped? As a Christian, God delivers us. God sets us free. God releases us from things like sensuality, from things like alcohol, from things like drugs, from things like lying, from things like stealing, from all. Why you want to go back? I want the grace of God. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I can be different with his help. I'm not going to be different on my own. I can be different with his help. And because for me, the works of darkness are viewed as non-participatory, I don't get involved in those. Being like the darkness doesn't attract those in it to us and Christ. Anyone here ever been called a Holy Joe? That's actually a nice thing to be called. Especially in your case, Joe. Because you're Joe. Would you rather be called an unholy Joe? What are you, Reverend? What are you, trying to push your spirituality on me? Okay, yeah, what are you, a preacher? Was that the worst thing to be? I like the job, actually. But we want to be different because of the light that's in us. We don't want people to say, you know what's the best thing about you? You do that Christian thing and you don't live like it at all. You know what? I'm not offended by you at all. I feel so comfortable around you. When I swear, I know you swear. When I speak badly, I know you speak badly. When I'm doing a bad joke, I know you won't even bother me by it. You don't judge. I don't want that, do I? And we don't want to be jamming everything down everyone's throat at all times. But we have a responsibility to be who we're supposed to be. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? It doesn't. And then I'm to let my light unearth in the darkness. Light is designed to bring to the forefront that which is wrong. And our lives should do that. Ephesians 5:11 says through 14 says this, but instead expose them. Have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. These verses are essentially saying that light exposes the darkness. Light brings up what's wrong. It puts a big spotlight on that which is displeasing to God. I expose the works of darkness through confrontation. It is okay for you and I to say what we believe. In fact, it's mandated. There is no such thing as an undercover Christian. Hey, you, come here. Want a Gospel of John? Contrast to fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness, I am to expose or rebuke them. We encourage evil by doing and saying nothing. Now, in this amazing world that we live in, it is politically incorrect to say what the Bible says. In America right now, it's kind of like, I can't stand for intolerance. The only thing I'm intolerant about is intolerance. And what we need to understand is, as believers, as we become more and more in the minority with our views and our values, we have an obligation to still stand, to still say what we believe, regardless. Regardless. You're a Christian, and someone says to you, what do you believe about same-sex marriage? The thing to do is to be honest. Not to go, I'm thinking about that one. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to see if the Bible verse has changed. What do you believe about two people living together out of marriage? Well, you know, Paul's words were sometimes misconstrued. Now, we don't want to say anything out of anger or out of judgment, but out of love. But we still got to say what we believe. Where do you draw the line? Well, John 3:19 to 20 says, "And this is the judgment, that light has come to the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were what? Evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." In an amazing exchange this past week between the former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders and a gentleman running for office or hoping to take an office in the budget department of the White House, Sanders challenged him and said, "You seem to believe that same-sex marriage is wrong. What kind of person are you?" He said, "I'm a Christian. It's what I hold to. What do you want me to do?" He said, "Every person is made in the image of God and has equal value." But he also said, "This is what I believe. We do not back off what we believe. And then I expose the works of darkness through contrast. Not just through saying it, but through living it." Expose the dysfunctional family by doing your best to produce a Christ-centered, functional family. Expose the wicked crookedness in business by doing business as a Christian with value. Oh, you can't do business like that. Then close the door and do something else. Live out your faith. When someone starts to tell an off-color joke, say, "Excuse me, can I tell that to my Sunday school class?" And then move on. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 talks about how we're supposed to live. It says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness," we don't talk much about that, "greed, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints." He goes on to say, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving." We have this unique obligation to live differently. Now, will that offend people? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean we don't do it. It's who we are. Gives the rationale for exposing these things. "These secret things are shameful to speak of. They should cause us to blush, because in the presence of a holy God, they are blushable. They need exposing. They need light, and we are the light. Only the light can and will expose." Finally today, you should say, "Oh, you don't want me to be done." Finally today, "Oh, no, no, I have to quit. I have to quit." I need to heed the provocation for shining out. Light the fire again. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you."
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and thank you again for listening to God in Our City. We get phone calls from many of our listeners telling us how much this broadcast is a blessing to them. We have phone calls from folks who have problems with their kids, with their families, all telling us that God in Our City is a big blessing to them. Today, I need your help. I need you to partner with me to help keep God in Our City right here where it's supposed to be on WMCA Live every Sunday morning. Could you today be a prayer partner with us? Would you take the time to pray weekly for God in Our City? Beyond that, perhaps you could be a promoter of God in Our City. Maybe you could call a friend, a family member, someone you know in need and tell them to tune into our broadcast. Or perhaps you would text someone or place the fact that God in Our City is on up on your Facebook page. And finally, our church, Calvary Chapel, absorbs the majority of the costs involved with making this broadcast possible. But today, we need your help. Would you be willing to partner with us financially? If you would you please just call 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. Or go to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Click on the donate button and contribute today. This is Pastor Dave Watson. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.